So Father, I come before you with this message, and I know my weaknesses, Lord, and you know them even better. But Lord, with you, your word within this message, Lord, can go out and achieve the purpose for which you had it written in the first place. So Lord, we ask you to bless both the message, Lord, our ears and our hearts, that they may be open to what you're saying, not what I've got to say. But Lord, make us receptive. Make us, Lord, thoughtful people. Help us, Lord, to take on board what you're saying to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, I've named this sermon today, 23rd of August, Have You Checked? Have you checked? Question mark. Now, it was Saturday morning yesterday, and I've been waiting for a sermon message all week, wondering what would happen if I never got one. What would happen if the Lord never put a thought or a message in my head? It hasn't happened yet, and it's come right up to the Saturday sometimes before I'm given something. And I trust the Lord to give me something to work with, so I have at least something to work with to put together. So at 6:45 on Saturday morning, something began to form in my mind, and in the space of about 30 minutes, I believe I was given an outline to work from. Just came out of nowhere, really. I was looking up into the clouds later on that morning. I was hanging out the washing, and the clouds were very high, higher than they appear to be today. You know, sometimes they look really high, and they were scudding across a very high blue sky behind them. And amongst those clouds, just behind them, way, way back, was a lone airliner heading from roughly west to east, along what I believe to be is a high-level air corridor up there. And I guess it must have been up around 30,000 feet or something like that, you know, 20, 30,000 feet. Very high, very small, knowing where it was going. And my mind ran over the fact that we had recently had our holiday to Portugal cancelled at short notice, although it had been dragged on. Don't know if we're going, don't know if we're going. And there was that airline. I thought, oh, goodness me, we could have been on that. We could have been going to Portugal or something like that. And, oh dear, it was quite a melancholy experience, really. But, you know, they cancelled it, and that made things worse. And a week after the cancellation, you probably know, the UK government just removed the requirement for people returning from Portugal to go into quarantine. So that made it even worse. So if we could have got out there, we could have come back. Gah. We'd missed our holiday by about a week. And if we could miraculously have got there, we could have got back as if nothing had happened. If only this, if only that. If only COVID-19 hadn't happened. If only it had been taken seriously earlier on by the government. If only we had a vaccine. If only. My mind wandered over sitting on the aircraft. You know, bags in the luggage rack above your heads and bits and bobs down at your feet, under the passenger seat in front of you. But you know, before you can go anywhere on a passenger aircraft, you have to sit through the safety briefing, don't you? Anybody who's flown here knows that. Happens every time. They have to do it for health and safety reasons. Time and time again, the stewards have to sit up, put on a false smile, and act as if they really are interested in doing this. And they're slightly different for whichever model aircraft you're about to fly on. Same old story. And many frequent flyers switch off at this point, don't they? And they read the in-flight magazine or do something else. But if the flight attendants catch you with your earphones in, they insist that you take them out and at least look like you're listening, paying attention. And you can't do that if you're listening to music with earbuds in, can you? So what do they tell you? They tell you how and when to put your seatbelt on and how to put your lifebelt on should the aircraft land on water in the event of an emergency forced landing, don't they? They also tell you where your lifebelt is stowed. It's either, can you remember? It's either under the seat in front of you, or under your seat, or above your head in a locker somewhere. Do you pay attention when they tell you where it is? If they asked you 5 minutes later, where's your life belt? Would you be able to tell them? Now, I ask frequent flyers, how many times have you checked to see if there is actually a life belt stowed where they say it is? Put your hand up if you've also gone and checked to see if you've got one. I thought, goodness me, well done. Excellent. You surprised me. Well done. I haven't, and most people don't. Otherwise, you'd see them all getting up. Oh, yeah, look, there it is. There's mine there. Oh, there's yours. Right? Okay, so everyone just assumes then, don't they, that he or she who's the flight attendant is telling you the truth, that there is actually one there. Why would they lie to you? How many lifeboats were on the Titanic? And it's very unlikely, after all, isn't it, that you'll ever need to put the life jacket on. I mean, that's what goes through your head. Oh, yeah, it's very, 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 very unlikely. But you know what? They never tell you. They never tell you during that flight safety brief that you cannot jump out of an airliner. You can't bail out of an airliner. You can't get out. And even if you could, there are no parachutes. So I was looking up there at this aircraft going past 30,000 feet thinking, if anything goes wrong up there, it's all over, isn't it? Life jacket's not going to be a lot of good. Might break your fall slightly. So once again, you put your trust in, it'll never happen to me. And try to put any thoughts about crashing as far out of your head as possible. At least you do if you can, because a lot of people don't fly because they can't put those thoughts out of their minds. The seatbelt, on the other hand, I believe, is a sneaky way of stopping people panicking and rushing around. It holds you in your seat, which is probably the safest place to be. But other than that, the basic aircraft seatbelt is unlikely to save your life, is it? Let's face it, in a nasty air crash. In fact, because there is no escape from the fuselage in flight and no parachutes, even if there was, you're as close to flying in a coffin as possible, in a way. No matter what the safety procedures are, if you're going down, you're going down, aren't you? So do you check to see if there's a life jacket or not? No matter what you do, in the end, your destiny is still, as we all know, in God's hands. No matter what the safety record of a particular aircraft model is, or whether the passenger next to you is breathing out COVID-19 into the cabin atmosphere or not, your destiny is still in God's hands. Now, let's turn to Scripture. Some of you will be glad about that. Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 15. Ephesians 6, 10 to 15. You've heard it a lot. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, and it will come, the day of evil, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Now, the kind of armor that we've just read about doesn't really sound much good in an aircraft crash, does it? That kind of armour. But, this is the point. I saw an illustration in my mind's eye this morning of those who wear their aircraft seat. And they do, don't they? You see, it, they wear it very sloppy, very loosely. Say, yeah, I've got it on, you know, but I've got a bit of indigestion and I'm bloated and I need to have it slack. Otherwise, it gives me stomachache, you know. But it's on. It's just slack. they're complying with wearing their seatbelt. And those Christians who don't find it easy or necessary to stand with the belt of truth buckled firmly round their waist, I don't see or feel the requirement is totally necessary to do that. You know, it's the same with Christians, isn't it? You don't have to really have it on well and tight and securely, so long as you've sort of like got it on a bit. I saw a parallel there of people sitting, well, I've got it on, but it ain't going to do much good. But the belt of truth is not meant to be worn like that. It's supposed to be on buckled and firm and tight. Most of us know about the old-fashioned seat straps on aircraft. They used to be like that on the very first cars back in the 60s, in the late 50s. They haven't changed one iota. And yet, neither has the belt of truth. Because the belt of truth hasn't changed either. It's never changed. You know, the wording is, it's the belt of truth. It's not a belt of truth. It's the belt of truth. And we should know by now that from a biblical point of view, the truth is not just a concept, the opposite of false. It's a person. The truth is a person. And as many of us have heard before, that person is, unequivocally, without any shadow of a doubt, the person is Jesus. It isn't anybody else. It's not a Jesus type figure or a Buddha or a whatever. It is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the belt of truth. And we should have it on all the time, firmly, not sloppy, not hanging off, not just complying with, well, I go to church every Sunday, so I wear my belt, don't I? That kind of thing. You see, Jesus confirmed that he was the truth in John 14:4-7. You know the way, Jesus said, to the place where I'm going. That's where we're going. We, you know, that aircraft knew where it was going. They had their belts on or off, but they had an idea where they were going. We thought we knew where we were going, but we didn't get there. But if you're wearing the belt of truth, you'll end up in the right place. Jesus says, you know the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't. We don't know where you're going. So how could we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way. What? How can a person be the way? I'm the way. And I'm the truth. And I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Ah, so where are we going? We're going to the Father. How do you get to the Father? If you really knew me, Jesus said, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. Jesus said it himself in John 14, and it flummoxed some people when he said that, you know. In John 18:36-38, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. It's somewhere else. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now, my kingdom is from another place. What's this other place then? Is that where we're going? Are we going there? You are a king then, said Pilate. Ah, you're a king. That's what you are. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Are you listening? Listen to Jesus. Pilate says, but what is truth? What's truth? I mean, that is such an applicable thing to say in this modern age. Nowadays, most of what you hear on the media isn't true. And that is kind of like twisted a little bit. But they keep feeding it to you as if it's truth all the time. This is the truth. This is the truth. And you know, don't you, if you're old enough, that actually, you know what? it probably isn't true. Dog on the internet recording. Can you? And it isn't my dog either. It's not Toffee. So what is truth? Pilate asked. And with this he went out again to the Jews and said, I find no basis for a charge against this man. But Jesus said, everyone on the side of truth listens to Jesus. Because not only does Jesus never lie, oh, what a relief. Wouldn't you want to spend the rest of your life with somebody who didn't tell you lies? Who didn't twist the truth? Who didn't give you their way of looking at things? But just told you as it is? Wouldn't that be good? Doesn't that sound refreshing? Goodness me, such a wonderful thing to be with somebody who just tells it as it is, tells you the truth. He's the truth and the only way to God the Father. And he said that himself. He doesn't lie. So that's a good belt to have around your waist, isn't it? The belt of truth. So when you're next sat on an aircraft, fiddling with your seatbelt, putting it on when they tell you to put it on, and unfastening it when they say you can unfasten it, they're telling you when to put it on and when to take it off. They tell you when it's safe to do so and when it's not safe to not have it on. Remember this, that belt is most likely, I hesitate to say this, a token gesture, just like many of the people wearing face masks today. It gives the appearance of security and safety, but in reality, it's Jesus and the security of knowing him that makes the big difference in everyone's life. If you're unfortunate enough to be involved in an air incident and you're told to brace, 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 I really hope you're not just trusting in your seatbelt. That would be really sad. Or if you're ditch, 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 we're ditching into the water, if you're trusting in your life belt, that may or may not be under your seat, or in the one in front, or above your head. It would be prudent though, wouldn't it, to know where it is. But remember this, there is no escape and there is no parachute from an airliner. I listen to UCB radio quite a lot. It's not all to my tasting, but I do. Overall, it is a blessing. They play a lot of modern Christian music. Some of it's good and some of it is puzzling. There was a song on recently that puzzled me. Might be because my hearing isn't as sharp as it was. I need to hear the consonants of words. Because as you get older, you can hear what people are saying, but if you miss the consonants at the beginning and the end of the word, you can't make out what the word is. So your brain, having had 60 odd years of experience, goes, well, it could have been that word, it could have been that word, or it could have been this word, right? And there was a song on recently that puzzled me. Might be because my hearing isn't as sharp as it was, or it might be because the singer sounded American, because they have this problem of not being able to speak properly, don't they, Heidi? Current company accepted. No one speaks English like you. But it had this repetitive phrase in the lyrics, like modern songs do, don't they? Repetitive phrases that keep going round, like earworms. Earworms, that's what they call it. And to me it sounded like, be my pair of shoes. Be my pair of shoes. Be my pair of shoes. And I wondered, what's that got to do with anything? I don't get it. What bit's that bit then? I was thinking, you know, I know a bit of Bible. I know some scriptures. Why would anybody want to say, be my pair of shoes? And I thought, I must have something to do with Isaiah 52. So because Isaiah 52:7 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Ah, so maybe it's connected with the shoes for the person who goes to spread the good news. Those who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Maybe it's to do with that. That's really good. I like that one. We have a song about that. How lovely on the mountains are those, yeah, we've sung it, haven't we? But no, apparently what I was hearing was meant to be my parachute. It's called a parachute song. It's nothing to do with pairs of shoes. Be my parachute. I thought, parachute? That's not in the Bible. Why would anybody need a parachute? Why would anybody need a parachute? So when you next feel like you're going into free fall without a parachute, whether it's literally, very unlikely, I know, it's not likely, is it? Or in some other real life circumstance, and let's face it, they come out of nowhere, these circumstances, and they come all too regularly these last few years. I don't know what is going on. There is something going on. Something is going on. It's happening all the time, very regularly. Then Jesus can be your parachute. Okay, sounds corny, doesn't it? Parachute, oh yeah, Jesus, my parachute. But that's what the song's all about. The thing about parachutes is, a bit like knowing where your life belt is on an aircraft, you need to know where your parachute is. But knowing where it is isn't enough. You need to know how to put one on. And if you put it on in a panic, if you put it on and you never put one on before, you'll have crashed by the time you need to pull that pull cord. You won't know what to do with it. You'll just panic. I say, here's a parachute, put it on. What? Trying to put something on in a panic or in a hurry is much more difficult than putting it on when you've been putting it on regularly for years. If you've been wearing Jesus as your parachute for years, it's no big deal to put it on again, is it? And the more familiar you are with Jesus, whether you see him as a parachute or not, the more likely you are to recommend him to other people. I've got this parachute, call him Jesus. You should try it. And the more likely they are, the people that you're talking to, the more likely they are to realize that you've been telling them the truth. Why? Because there's no shadow of a doubt in what you're saying. And what you're saying spiritually comes across as that guy really believes, or that lady really believes what they're saying. Why are they so confident? Why do they want to share what they value so much with me? Why are they doing that? And it gets their attention. So have you checked recently? Have you checked to see what you're relying on? Have you checked your belt? When you put your seatbelt on in your car, it's an inertia reel, isn't it? It automatically tensions on you. But have you got the right belt on? Is it the belt of truth? Is it secure? Is it firm? Do you wear it every day? Is it part of your armor of God? And if Jesus is your parachute, it's no good just knowing where he is. You've got to know how to use him, how to turn to him, how to go to him in prayer, and how to rely on him. Because a parachute's not a parachute really, is it, until it's open and it's lowering you down to earth. After you've pulled the ripcord and you've trusted that parachute is going to open, because until you do pull that ripcord, you don't know if it's going to open or not. But Jesus said, it will open. Jesus, I thank you that you inspire us to share the faith. We thank you that you are the truth and you're the life. And no one comes to the Father but through you. So we entrust ourselves to you, and we pray, Lord, that you will take us to where you are. And we ask all these things. And your blessing, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.